741, 70 degrees. We appreciate you joining us here on the Mighty 690 KGGF. And we appreciate Kansas Attorney General Derek Schmidt joining us. Thank you, sir. We appreciate your time on this Tuesday.
Chris, it's good to be with you. Yes.
Just reading through here, just over the last couple of days or so recently, your Consumer Protection Division of your office, it's been pretty busy, hasn't it?
They have. I am really proud of our team in the Consumer Protection Division. Of course, that's where I started in the Attorney General's office many years ago, and it holds a special place in my heart. I always say, you know, you can't really unring the bell when you're dealing with a criminal case. Somebody's been killed or there's been an assault. You can bring justice, but you can't undo what happened to them. But in some ways, you can undo when somebody's been ripped off or defrauded. If you can get them their money back and bring a little bit of justice and hold the crook or the con artist accountable, it's very satisfying work. So we've got a great team over there, and they recovered a little over $12 million for Kansans this last year. That's a good year. It's not our best year, but it's a very good year in terms of the amount recovered and put back in people's pockets. And we're actually, of course, I'll be leaving the office here come January, and so we've been reflecting over the last 12 years of service. We've recovered more than $250 million, with a B, for Kansas consumers and taxpayers over that period of time, and that is by far the most ever recovered in any Attorney General's administration. So our team has done terrific work, and I'm very proud of them on behalf of Kansans they've helped.
This is Brian Klein here, Attorney General Schmidt. There is a fraudulent thing that happened that the Sean Lynn Purcells of was convicted of wire fraud for his forming autopsies without a license. He was also the former funeral home director in Keeney. There are concerns maybe that he had fraudulently done something there in Keeney as well. Can you speak to that?
Well, I can tell you with Mr. Purcells, he's been on our radar screen now for several years, so we have had him under investigation for at least the last 3 years, might have been four. I'd have to look at the records. And he came to our attention when we started to receive a number of complaints from families who had hired him to perform autopsy services on their deceased loved ones, and then discovered either the services didn't get done, they never got a report, or if they did get a report, it didn't serve the purpose they needed. And by that, what I mean is it turns out that they couldn't use it in a legal proceeding or whatever it may be that they were paying him to get the report for. So we started investigating this as a consumer matter. And ultimately, I sued Mr. Purcells under the Consumer Protection Act about almost 3 years ago now. Mm-hmm. We got him blocked from doing business in Kansas and recently got a judgment against him to recover large amounts of money for folks who had paid for these fraudulent services. We also have had to deal with a large number of biological samples that we seized in the course of the investigation and have been trying to return to loved ones all around the country who had retained his services.
He just created such a
separate
mess.
Separate from that, we have a state criminal case pending against him in Waubonsie County, where he's been convicted and awaits sentencing. And then the federal government we've worked in cooperation with the Department of Justice, and they've brought these wire fraud charges that have just resulted in sentencing. So, you know, this is an individual who, over the course of time, really hurt a lot of people. He hurt them financially, but he also hurt them in some ways in a deeper way by preying upon their vulnerabilities at a time of loss.
Yeah, it's just sickening almost. Another thing that I had a question about, the legislation that was passed this last time for the transparency in our property taxes and the bill that everybody received in the mail, it sure created a lot of, I would say, animosity towards our legislators, at least here locally is what I'm hearing.
Yeah, I hear a lot about that out and about. You know, it's that age-old tension between, on the one hand, valuing local control, let locally elected and accountable officials make decisions about local tax rates and other local spending and other local issues, and on the other hand, the very strong and loud desire that you hear all over the state to try to do something to control property tax burdens and property tax rates. And it's always a challenge for the state because nearly all property tax is levied, collected, and spent locally. There's only 21.5 mills that goes to state purposes, and of that amount, 20 mills stay with the local school district, even though it's levied by state authorities. So, it's that conundrum, and that balance has shifted back and forth over the years with different efforts, state limits. And there's local pushback, and the limits get eased, and there's pushback from taxpayers, and there's new limits, and that pendulum at the moment seems to be.
You know, I do see the point of the state side here, locally at least. I mean, we're creating more steps, more red tape, and that's I just can't see that that's ever a good thing. Remember what a former President Reagan said, that the government's not going to solve any of our problems. We've got to make solutions on our own, and
well,
especially
certainly
on the local
level. As I say, the challenge in this particular space is that you have a serious problem with a heavy property tax load that folks all over the state are concerned
about.
They're
leaving.
You have local control decisions governing it. And so I think you're going to see the legislature and local officials continue to do what they've done for decades, which is this sort of back-and-forth balancing act.
Yeah.
We're on the phone with Attorney General Derek Schmidt, and we appreciate you joining us, sir. Another thing that has happened here recently, the new mobile app for youth suicide. That's something that is a subject that is near and dear to just about everyone listening.
It is, sadly. The youth suicide rates in Kansas have gone up slowly but steadily for many years, and they've spiked up since the school lockdowns and the pandemic. In fact, there's one study that suggests that one in three Kansas teens has seriously contemplated killing himself or herself since the lockdowns began. So it's a serious and growing problem. We've been focused on that now for years, since before the pandemic, at the Attorney General's office. One of the things we finally have gotten completed is development of this new app, an application, an app that you'd have on your phone or on a laptop, that with one click takes you directly to the ability to communicate with the National Suicide Prevention Hotline, back-end folks in Kansas who provide counseling and other emergency intervention supports. And the idea is ultimately to have this app available and hopefully required for every kid who enters school in the fall. Just download it as part of your back-to-school routine. Have it preloaded on school-based laptops. And the idea is, you hope that kids never need it, but it is there with one click. If in a moment of crisis they do, they don't have to go look up a phone number. They don't have to think about how do I contact people. It's one click away from help.
Beautiful thing is that you can even text, and that's what so many kids today hardly talk on the phone. It's all texting.
100% agreed. Yeah, we developed this in consultation with the Jason Flatt Foundation out of Tennessee. It's a youth suicide prevention group that works nationally. Terrific people, and the text communication option was one that was very important to us, and they said absolutely essential. So it is on there.
So I'm also noticing a $10 million multi-state agreement, and forgive me if I mispronounce this, but is it Juul? Is that with e-cigarettes?
Mm-hmm. It is. Yes, that's right. Of course, vaping's been a growing market segment in the last 8-10 years.
Yeah.
Juul is one of the market leaders, has been in that space. And we and a group of other attorneys general, Republican and Democrat around the country, have been investigating some of Juul's marketing practices for several years now, finally got to settlement with the company. And essentially, when you boil it all down, what our concern was how they were deliberately marketing the product to minors, trying to get around age limits on accessing vaping products, just as we have age limits on accessing smoking products. But some of Juul's marketing practices were deliberately designed to allow them to say they weren't marketing to kids when in fact they were. And under the settlement agreement, they've agreed to change their marketing approach so that it looks much more like the way, say, cigarettes and other tobacco products are sold, marketed, and controlled. It doesn't mean kids are never going to get it, of course, but it does mean that there are at least meaningful restrictions, and that the company can no longer affirmatively try to push its product out to kids under the age of 18. So, we're pleased with the settlement. I think it's a good outcome, and of course, we, the AG community, will continue to monitor it to make sure that the company lives up to what it's agreed to.
And
Just one final thing. What do you think of the race so far, sir? I mean, everybody nationally sees, wants to pit this as a really tight, tight race, and she has gotten quite a bit of outside money. Outspent everybody ever.
Yeah, so we're 49 days out. 7 weeks from today is election day, so we're coming down into the final stretch. I think it is a very competitive race, which is to be expected. I have an incumbent on the other side. Incumbents are always difficult. Mm-hmm. But I think that the fundamentals are on our side. Ultimately, everywhere I go in the state, folks tell me either loudly or sometimes they'll pull me aside and sort of whisper it. They are very worried about being able to make their paychecks. The cost of food is up substantially from last year. The cost of energy, including gasoline, is still very high despite having come down. The cost of living, just sort of payment for basic government services, paying for government, both local and state, continues to go up. And a lot more people are worried about just day-to-day cost of living than has typically been the case. And I think that fundamental is likely to really cause people to vote with their pocketbooks come November and vote for change. So I feel good about where we are. Tight race. We're going to perform very, very well in parts of the state. The governor has an advantage in some other parts of the state, and we need all of our friends to get out, help us get our votes in the bank and get this job done.
Yes, sir.
And that is one of the biggest things to do, is to get out and let your voice be heard.
Absolutely.
It just doesn't seem like there are as many voters now as there were even just 8-12 years ago.
Yeah, we'll see what the turnout looks like in November. It's a midterm election. Typically, those tend to be somewhat lower turnout. But on the other hand, there's a lot of engagement this year.
There is.
You can feel it. And you can feel it kind of across the spectrum. People worried about different issues. People worried about the direction of the country.
Two-thirds.
People worried about their pocketbooks. People worried about public safety. People worried about the education of their kids. I think we're going to have a big turnout this fall, and I think that's good for us.
Two-thirds is what I heard the statistic the other day. I believe that are two-thirds of the United States is living paycheck to paycheck.
Yeah, it's, we were always very blessed as I was growing up in Montgomery County, but I had a lot of friends and we had a lot of family who, you know, things were very tight. And I understand what that means, and I understand how important it is to really have a connection with folks who live in paycheck to paycheck. And I just don't think some of our current leadership gets it. They just don't understand that, you know, a 50-cent difference in what you pay for milk, or a 50-cent difference in price of a gallon of gas, changes life for a lot of Kansans. Mm-hmm. And we've got to do better on that, and I believe we will after November.
All righty.
Absolutely. Well, we do appreciate your time, Attorney General Derek Schmidt, joining us this morning. As always, sir, appreciate your time, and 7 weeks.
Yes, sir. 49 days. We are sprinting to the end. Thanks for having me on.
You bet. Absolutely. Thank you for your time, sir.